The following is a lecture entitled How to See Krishna in Every Walk of Life, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 18th, 2015, in Pune, India.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyadesha Tarvine. So, I'm feeling that I'm unlimitedly blessed to be here with these exalted devotees. With all you exalted devotees also. Talking about the most wonderful topic I could ever imagine talking about or hearing about. How to see Krishna in every walk of life. This is especially dear to me because Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So how do we see Krishna in every walk of life? The key is you have to want, first of all, you have to desire to see Krishna in every walk of life. If you'd rather see a pretty girl, you're not going to see Krishna. You have to desire to see Krishna. That's the first thing. You have to realize that Krishna is more beautiful than anything else in all of existence. Indeed, every beautiful thing, any beautiful thing, is beautiful only because it is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the source of all beauty. So when you are seeing Krishna, you're experiencing all beauty. You're not missing out on any beauty. So you understand in this way that I'm not a loser when I'm always seeing Krishna. I'm gaining unlimited mercy if I can see Krishna at every minute. So how do I do that? What is the art of seeing Krishna at every minute? Do you realize you can even be in the temple in front of the deities and not be seeing Krishna? Do you know that? Because you're thinking about your own sense gratification, you can be standing right there in front of the Lord and not be seeing Krishna. It's not where you are physically. It's where you are mentally that makes all the difference in the world. You have to have the proper attitude. It is attitude which will establish your altitude. You can be flying high in the spiritual sky if you have the right attitude, or you can be flying very low in the material atmosphere if your attitude is not proper. So what is then the proper attitude where you can always be flying in the spiritual altitude, experiencing Krishna within everything? Everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. What is that attitude? Well, it's very poetic. It's the attitude of gratitude, actually. You have to feel grateful for for everything, understanding who is providing it. Eko baho nam yovadadagi kama. Who is that person who's supplying everything to you? Is it the Indian government? Who is supplying you all your necessities of life? I notice you are all breathing right now. I am too. Who's giving you the air? Well, you say, well, it's the demigod of the wind. Well, who's supplying him? Everything that we require is all being provided for us by the Supreme Lord Krishna. So therefore, we should be very full of gratitude for that wonderful person. Even though we abandon him, we abandon his service in a rebellious mood of wanting to establish ourselves as the Supreme, still he's maintaining us very nicely with all our necessities of life. So just consider how kind is Krishna, how tolerant is Krishna. But we are so indignant, we say, there is no Krishna, or Krishna is a myth. We have to realize that Krishna is reality itself. Everything is real because it's emanating from Krishna. He is the very ground of reality. As Brahma Samhita says, he is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence. Everything rests on Krishna. So one who is not connected with Krishna, who is not seeing Krishna in every walk of life, who is not tasting Krishna, you see, he's in a state of illusion. He will naturally be bewildered and confused. According to his karma, sometimes he may be successful, and sometimes he'll be a failure. But even in his success, he knows no peace. In this material world, everyone is agitated, everyone is disturbed because they are not seeing Krishna. Or if they do see Krishna, or they do see God, how do they see him? As the order supplier. Just like in the Christian world, we grew up with the Lord's Prayer, "Dear Father, give us our daily bread." When I was a little kid, my parents, especially my mom, she wanted to train me to be God conscious. So she said, "Little Stevie, what do you want for Christmas?" I said, "Well, Mommy, I'd like a pair of cowboy boots." She said, "Okay, little Stevie, every night before you go to bed, you pray, 'Dear God, please give me a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas.'" And what was under the tree on Christmas morning? A pair of cowboy boots. So I was being trained that God is there to give you what you want. That's how I was trained. So that's how they take God. That's the extent of their God consciousness. In other words, it's not a God-centered conception. It is a me-centered or self-centered conception. We need the key. Oh, we need the key to the room. Okay. No memory card in the computer. Okay. In the camera. Okay. All right. So it is a me-centered society we live in. Everyone is taught to see that I am the center of the universe. That's everyone's going around thinking they're the center. As long as you have a self-centered or egocentric conception of reality, you will not see Krishna even if you're standing right in front of the deities. You will see a statue. You will not see the Lord Himself standing there. But if you can kick out this foolish conception that you, Mr. Such and Such, are indeed the center of reality, you can kick out this absurd, ridiculous concept that has been programmed into us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, then you can have some hope of actually seeing and experiencing Krishna at every minute. So how will we get free of this conditioning, this egocentric, me-centered, I-centered disease called ahankara? How will we get free from that? That's the whole system of Vaidhi Bhakti. You have to take a remedial measure. If you are in a diseased state of consciousness, then you have to take some remedial means to free yourself from that disease. You cannot just go on acting like you're healthy. You have to understand you are in a diseased state. You have to take the proper diet, the proper rest, the proper medicine, etc. from a qualified physician. So, in this disease of ahankara, the qualified physician is not your neighborhood MD, it's the bona fide spiritual master, who is a representative of Krishna, a pure representative of Krishna, who has no desire to exploit anyone, who simply wants to bless everyone with Krishna consciousness. You need to find out such a bona fide spiritual master, and we've been blessed that such a bona fide spiritual master came to this world, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, on the order of Krishna. Prabhupada told him, you go there, Krishna. Prabhupada told us that Krishna told him, you go there and write those books. These books of Srila Prabhupada are the law books for this whole universe for at least the next 10,000 years. This movement is based on these books of Srila Prabhupada. So if you want to experience Krishna, you have to approach Him through the books. You have to understand this knowledge. That's why we have so many classes, so many seminars, to train you all in understanding what are Prabhupada's teachings. Nobody can be a bona fide preacher in our movement unless they are pure representatives of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We see sometimes devotees try to introduce new concepts and Prabhupada is not very happy. When the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, there were so many descriptions of Gopi Bhav and very exalted states of consciousness. Some devotees thought, we're just going to focus on Gopi Bhav. We're not going to go to Mangal Arati anymore, but only go to Tulsi worship. We wouldn't hear a Bhagavad Gita lecture. We only want to hear about Krishna kissing the gopis. And they formed a club called the Gopi Bhava Club in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was sitting there in his room in L.A. getting ready to take his breakfast. He picked up a piece of fruit and Pradyumna walked into the room, his translator, and told Prabhupada about the Gopi Bhava Club. That piece of fruit never made it into his mouth. He said, he put down the fruit, he said, call the leader of that club, call the GBC right now. And Prabhupada smashed him. And that boy, the head of the club, blooped, he left the movement, and the next morning he was gone. Prabhupada was not going to allow any philosophical deviation to this movement. You can read it it's in the Vedabase. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. He said, you desire to have Gopi Bhav, well, first of all, qualify yourself. You see, learn how to become a humble servant of the bona fide spiritual master. Learn how to rise early in the morning. Follow the regulative principles. You can't throw away the regulative principles and think, oh, I'm seeing Krishna at every minute. You see? You're just in your own imaginary world. Krishna is not so cheap that He reveal Himself to any Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes walking in off of Main Street. You see? Krishna reserves the right to reveal Himself only to His pure devotees. So you want to experience Krishna at every minute and every walk of life, then you have to give up your ego-centered consciousness. You have to become a humble servant of Krishna. But actually, even that is not good enough. Krishna told Arjuna, he says, Ye me bhakta jana aparta, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be devotee of Krishna? Great. Now, how will you become the devotee of Krishna? You must become the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. Then Krishna will accept. Otherwise, Krishna will say, I don't know you. You're not my devotee. So if you want to see Krishna at every minute, you have to see Krishna's devotees. You have to be very eager to associate with the devotees of Krishna, to serve the devotees of Krishna. You won't find it in sense gratification. When the devotees first came to Vrindavan, it was very austere. We didn't have a temple there. The water you couldn't drink. The water was impalpable, salty water. It was very austere. Devotees was just meeting, hearing Prabhupada at the courtyard of Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And then they would head off to Loy Bazaar to buy the snacks from all the vendors. And Prabhupada said, you will not find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar. So, even if you're in Vrindavan, if your mood is sense gratification, you will not experience Krishna, even though Krishna is fully present in Vrindavan. You can't be in a sense gratificatory mood. You have to be in a mood of mastering your senses, the Goswami mood. Is it? You think that only our sannyasis are supposed to be Goswamis? Think again. Every devotee is meant to become Goswami. As a Brahmacharya Goswamis, Grihastha Goswamis, Vanaprastha Goswamis, and Sannyas Goswamis. Those who master their senses. That's how you will see Krishna. To the degree that you can master your senses by keeping them always engaged in the service of Krishna, and only to that extent, not beyond that, to that extent you will see Krishna. So how you can analyze yourself. Each one of us can psychoanalyze ourselves, and if you can't get a clear picture, and ask a more advanced devotee to help you analyze yourself. To what extent am I engaged in serving my senses? And to what extent am I engaged in mastering my senses by always in keeping them engaged in Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam? Where do I stand? Am I 10% serving my senses? Am I 90% serving my senses? Where do I stand on the scale? You see? The beginning, we're mostly serving our senses. But as you advance in Krishna consciousness, the percentage of your consciousness which is going into sense gratification goes down, and the percentage of your consciousness that goes into serving Krishna goes up. So the idea is, you have to keep working on it to become more and more detached from sense gratification and more attached to serving Krishna. That has to be the central theme of your life. Whatever you're doing externally, that's okay. But those are simply something to be used to help you master your senses, whether you're a brahmachari, whether you're a grihastha, a vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, it doesn't matter. As long as you're engaged in the activity of bringing your senses under control, and increasing more and more your attachment to serving Krishna, you're in a good position. In any ashram, you're in a very good position. So, what is my cutoff time? And I'm going to 9:00. Like,
they're all writing questions. Can they send the chits to you?
Questions?
They are all writing checks now.
All right, so questions can be written and sent forward now. And we'll be opening up for questions that are already coming. Okay. All right. And how long do I go for the questions?
Another 10 to 12 minutes, you can take questions.
Okay.
And then we have dancing kirtan.
At what time do we have the dancing kirtan?
Now it is 8:35 now. Another 15 minutes, you can take questions. 10 to.
Mm-hmm. 10 till?
Actually, if you can go to 8:50 after. Sorry, 8:45.
I go 10 minutes of questions?
Okay.
Then we'll do that. Only a few questions tonight. Well, we have like 12 minutes. So if you have a question, make it a really good one, because I'm not going to take many. Yesterday morning, you were telling about taking shelter of a guru for overcoming our conditionings. But what is meant by taking shelter of a guru, Maharaj? Prabhupada's the example. He got initiated in 1933, but actually he took shelter. He accepted within his heart, this is my spiritual master. So the initiation actually is simply a formalization of your dedication to the spiritual master. Shelter means now I'm dedicating my heart and soul to the spiritual master. That's what it literally means. I'm now dedicated to him. His order is my life and soul. And then when that is formed, when he sees that you're actually serious, it's not just some fly-by-night whim. You're actually serious in that mood. It's real. It's not just some passing phase. When he sees that it's real, he gives you some time, then he'll give you a diksha to formalize that, and he'll take your karma at the time of initiation. Okay. How to get free from thoughts of sex? This is a problem that many of us have in this material world. In fact, it is this desire for sex which has kept us entangled in karma chakra for millions and millions of lifetimes. Just consider how ludicrous it actually is. You ever seen an ostrich bird with the scaly legs and the knobby knees? The ostrich bird. Do you get excited when you see an ostrich? Do you get lusty when you see an ostrich? Well, the male ostrich does. When he sees the female ostrich, he gets all excited by those scaly legs. He gets all excited by it. So actually our attraction is to females, or males if we're in a female body. It's just as ludicrous as that. It's really ludicrous. It's an absurdity. As I was explaining this morning, it's like, you know, you have your body, which is gross. It has, you know, a moochy mouth, and, you know, you pass stool and urine, and, you know, it's just, it's gross. You know, it's a gross thing, very gross. So the opposite sex body is just as gross as yours. Why are you attracted to it? It's like stool and urine, you know? Really. It's another stool and urine thing. Why are you so attracted to it? It's actually Maya's arrangement, the material nature's arrangement, so that we'll propagate children. Otherwise, no one would take the trouble to have any children. The species would die out. But this whole attraction, Romeo, Juliet, you see? It's Maya's trick. Prabhupada was talking about this with our Sarup Damodar Maharaj when he was a brahmacharya on Venice Beach in Los Angeles. Prabhupada said how this material world, how nasty it is. He said, the sex life, yes, Prabhupada said, how nasty it is. And so then Sarup Damodar says, taking the role of the scientist, he said, but how to continue the species? Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So, of course, Prabhupada wasn't literally saying we should finish the human species. He was making a philosophical point. It's not that we have some duty that you have to propagate. There's, don't worry that if you want to become a brahmacharya that I'm not doing my duty to propagate, or being a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, you know, I'm not doing my duty to propagate. Don't worry, somebody else will take care of that. You don't have to do that. The most important thing is to reestablish your lost loving relationship with the Supreme Person. That's the most important thing. That's the only thing that's really going to satisfy you. So you have to understand that sex desire is simply a waste of time. It never satisfies you. As the Bhagavad Gita says, dushparena nalena cha, that lust burns like fire and is never satisfied. If you say, well, look, that fire over there is really hot, it's demanding more fuel, so I think I'll cool it off by giving it more fuel. Will that cool off the fire? Will you cool off your lusty desires by gratifying them? No. The trick is you have denied them. Just like a glass of water, if you leave it on the table long enough, it'll evaporate and go away. It'll be an empty glass. So tolerate that itch, Srila Prabhupada says. If you tolerate the itch, it'll go away. If you scratch it, it'll itch more. And then you scratch it again, it'll itch more. And then it gets itching so bad you scratch it so hard that finally it starts bleeding and then you stop, Prabhupada said. He told one of our brahmacharis like that. So just be intelligent. Don't scratch the itch. If you're thinking about sex, it's a dead-end street. Think how beautiful this Krishna. In the beginning it'd be a little hard because we're rajasic tamasic consciousness. But if you discipline yourself by rising early, by chanting japa, by worshipping the deities, by doing kirtan with the devotees, if you discipline yourself, then you gradually get that nama ruchi, that taste, that Krishna ruchi, that taste for Krishna. And once you get a taste for Krishna, all those other tastes that just go away. They'll go away because they are insignificant. Okay. Let's see. How to avoid comparing one devotee with another devotee, especially senior devotees? Well, the best thing is to see that every devotee is wonderful. This devotee is wonderful in this way. This devotee is wonderful in this way. You see, every single devotee, you should see what are the wonderful qualities of this devotee. Every devotee is unique. Every devotee is wonderful. So just try to see the wonderful qualities of all the devotees. You see? Now some people, they just want to find the fault with the devotees. So if you're always finding fault with the devotees, what state of consciousness will you always remain in? You will remain in a faulty state of consciousness because all you're doing is looking for fault. But if you're always looking for the wonderful qualities of the devotees, then your natural saintly qualities, which are buried beneath the modes of nature, if you're always meditating on the saintly qualities of the devotees, your saintly qualities will come out. You become like what your state of meditation is. If you're meditating on faults, you remain faulty. If you meditate on saintly qualities, your saintly qualities will come out. How can we maintain Krishna consciousness in spite of moving within the materialistic circles necessitated by our studies or job, by always remembering Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who worked for a mundane institution known as the British government? But he remained a pure devotee. So how did he do that? Because he refused to accept that he was the proprietor of his wife, of his house, of his money, of his children. He refused to accept that he was the proprietor. He always accepted that Krishna was the proprietor. So if you will see Krishna as the proprietor of every rupee that you earn, you'll be in good shape. But if you think, I'm earning money for my sense gratification, then you will live in hell every day at work. So give as much money as you can to Krishna and to Krishna conscious preachers. That will liberate you from living in a state of hell in the material society. You'll be living in Vaikuntha, seeing everything in relation with Krishna. Another trick is get up and chant 16 rounds before you go to the job. 16 sweet, ecstatic rounds. Deeply meditate on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And you'll be flying high the whole day on the spiritual plane. When we too are placed where we have foundation to dedicate ourselves towards our occupational duty, how to reach Krishna, the similar question. Okay. Should one go out to find a spiritual master right now or when? Well, actually, Prabhupada, in one place it says you should have a spiritual master immediately. But at the same time, you ought to... In one place in Prabhupada's book it says, take a guru immediately. Another place, of course, it says you have to take some time to find out who is the actual bona fide spiritual master. Not that you accept anybody as a guru. You have to become learned in the science of bhakti and recognize what are the symptoms of a bona fide spiritual master. So one should... I know Dhananjaya Prabhu, the first lecture he heard from Srila Prabhupada, he asked one question. He said, how soon can I get initiated? So Prabhupada actually appreciated that enthusiasm. He got initiated right away. So there's different ways of understanding, but the most important thing is you should be very enthusiastic to give your life to Krishna. To follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, that enthusiasm should be there right away. If you have that enthusiasm to serve Krishna, to serve the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, then it will be revealed to you where you should become initiated disciple. Because there are many wonderful spiritual masters in our society. If you are very sincere to totally give your life to Krishna, then Krishna within the heart will say, this is your spiritual master. He'll reveal who your spiritual master is to you. You simply have to be very sincere to give your life to Krishna. So is that it? We have time for them. Oh, we have too many questions. Okay. All right, let's do it.